Chapter 9. Much a Monster. The sun had tumbled to sleep, skies as dark as the shadow on my shoulders. My leathers were sodden and my feet freezing, blood dripping from the ragged bite wounds in my arm. Phoebe was wrangling the children we'd rescued. Salem was off skulking, Lachlan scouting downriver to ensure the Divok didn't creep back and fuck us in the dark. And Dior was walking beside me, torches in our hands and hearts in our throats, as we wandered the ruins of the city my brothers had built. The stench of blood was so thick, it made my stomach growl. A tale of horror and sorrow awaited us inside Avalyn's walls, but we'd soon discovered a mystery also. The gatehouse soldiers had been dispatched with such force it chilled the blood. Necks twisted, faces pulped. But the portcullis and gates were intact, open as if to invite the world inside. There had been no siege here, no bloody defence of these mighty battlements. As I looked across the ruins, my mind was a storm of hows and whys. And my God, I was so thirsty. "Poor souls," a soft voice murmured. "Almighty God, gather them in your arms." I glanced up from the wreckage of the gate guards, looking at the lass beside me. "I fear he doesn't take requests lately, mademoiselle." The lass signed the wheel, making no reply. She was a little older than Dior, slender and small, the last captive I'd rescued from that sinking meat wagon. After the calamity on the riverbank had died down, she'd introduced herself in a soft Ossian brogue as Isla Aquin, a resident of Avalyn, notable among those we'd saved only in that she was the eldest. Her pale skin was smattered with freckles, long reddish hair tied in plaits, twin beauty spots on her cheek. I could dimly recall her at the welcome feast Aaron threw for us a few weeks back, serving drinks after the God thanks. But beyond that, I knew her not at all. Scowling, I surveyed the destruction. "What the hell happened here?"
"They came in the night, Chevalier," Isla replied softly. "Merciless and swift."
"But they didn't break through these gates. Did they come over the walls? In force enough to take the city, but without a bloodstain on the battlements?"
"I did not see."
The lass shivered, arms wrapped about herself in the rising chill.
"I was asleep in the chateau, woken by the sound of thunder and screaming. Great rocks were being flung at the keep from the city streets below, falling in the courtyard like hail."
Isla shook her head, awestruck.
"It was the dead, Chevalier. They were throwing those boulders, tossing chunks of houses about as if they were pebbles."
"So they were already inside the outer fortifications by the time the attack sounded." I clenched my jaw, eyes narrowed. "That makes no fucking sense." The lass only shook her head, mute and trembling. We walked onward, fat crows jeering as we passed, rats skittering through the shadows. Ascending the cobbled road to the chateau on the hilltop, we saw signs of furious battle everywhere. The fire throwers Baptiste had built on the battlements had left long scorch marks on the rock, flagstones littered with coal and ash. The smell of burned wood, alcohol, and blood stabbed my aching belly. Unlike the outer walls, these inner gates were gone, not broken, mind you, but torn free, and tossed back down the hill with a force that reduced the houses they'd struck to rubble. I knelt beside a dead soldier, his skull smashed open, brains crusted on the ice. Prying a leather flask from his frozen fingers, I unscrewed the lid, sniffing once.
"Holy water?" Dior asked softly.
I shook my head. "Vodka."
"He died with liquor in his hand."
"That's the way I'd want to go." Dior rolled her eyes, scoffing softly. I sighed, studying the corpse on the cobbles before me. Barely a whisker on his chin, the poor bastard. "A soldier will take comfort in prayer, Dior. In thoughts of famille,
the love of his brothers, the light of his God. But there's nothing like a dram of courage to hold you steady when the screaming starts. I took a long gulp from the flask before tossing it aside, standing to study the carnage. Within the chateau walls, the destruction was terrifying. The keep was demolished, solid basalt smashed like cheap pottery. The chapel where Astrid and I were wed had been gutted by fire, its roof collapsed. I could imagine its bells tolling during the attack. Desperate citizens fleeing to the only sanctuary they had left, that of holy ground. "The soldiers told us to shelter in there," Isla explained. "Women and children. But the smoke flushed us all out eventually. We youngest were the last wagon loaded." "How many more?" Dior asked softly. "I know not," Isla murmured, fragile as glass. "But many." "We must away, brother." The Ocean Lass startled at the soft hiss, and I glanced upward, jaw clenched. Selene was crouched like a crow on the broken battlements above, long hair and coat blowing in the bitter wind. Her hands were now lily-white, but her shirt was spattered red, the leavings of that unholy feast I'd witnessed on the river. She nodded southward, the way we supposed Kiara and her cousin had fled. "Dark has fallen. If the Divok return in force, they will crush us." "Lachlan is a watch," I told her. "He'll sing if he sees them."
"Ah, the wisest of plans. Set the man who would gladly see half of us dead standing guard over all our lives."
My sister shook her head, dead eyes glinting like broken glass.
"Why is he here, Gabriel? What were you thinking letting him
I fought alongside Lachlan and Craig through 2 years of hell, Selene. Right now, I trust him more than I trust you. Now unknot your fucking pantaloons. I'm not fixing to build a house up here. But we've a moment to figure out what happened to our friends." Selene hissed disapproval, and Isla signed the wheel, glancing between us with wide eyes. My sister had helped save the children of Avalane from the dead who'd captured them. That was plain. Yet plainer still was the fact she was dead herself. This poor lass had no idea what kind of shite she'd waded into, only that she wanted to be out of it. "What happened to Baptiste?" Dior asked.
"I did not see,"
Isla replied, wringing her hands.
"But he'd have tried to stand beside Capitaine de Cost, I'm sure. Their love burned brighter than silver, and no evil could part them. But whether he fell in battle or was taken by the dead, I know not."
"And Baron?" I murmured.
"I saw the Capitaine."
Isla shivered as she pointed.
"There, atop the walls, glowing like silver flame in the night. He was battling one of the Highbloods, both fighting like demons. But then, he was hit. A rock the size of a wagon."
"Oh God," Dior whispered. I gritted my teeth, not wanting to believe as I studied the high walk where my brother had fought. It was smashed by some colossal impact, dozens of tons, horrifying to see. A massive chunk of masonry sat across the courtyard, a huge runnel torn through the flagstones in its wake, stained dark with blood. I walked like a man to the gallows, images of Aaron shining in my mind's eye. I recalled our youth, our hatred forged by hellfire into a friendship I cherished above all others. I saw him standing beside me the day Astrid and I were wed here, trading the rings Baptiste had forged with his own two hands. I remembered them both sharing my tears the day Patience was born, embracing me as I set off after Dior, aching that they couldn't ride at my side one more time into darkness. My gorge rose at the sight of an awful smear, a blood-drenched boot crushed under the masonry. And wedged in the splintered rock,
"Gabe,"
Dior whispered. I knelt to retrieve the object, but found it stuck fast. I felt my fury rising, fangs grown long and sharp as I tried to drag it loose. My muscles stretched taut. Dior touched my shoulder, but I only cursed and leaned back into it, gasping as I finally wrenched it free. I stood there in the night, the falling snow, a scream building inside my chest. The thing in my hand was heavier than a lifetime unloved. Its crossbar was bent, but I could see the raven's wings, the grinning skull, the long flowing robes of silver. Mane, Angel of Death. Dior whispered, "Is that?" Aaron's sword.
"Oh God. Oh, Gabe."
I hung my head, the shattered hilt tumbling from my hand, fighting that scream inside me. I closed my eyes against the sight. I wouldn't believe it, couldn't believe it. Telling myself over and over it might not be him. It might be another man. Another soldier who somehow took up Aaron's beloved blade, who somehow... somehow... Gabriel. I looked up at that hateful whisper. Into hateful eyes. "We must away from here," Selene hissed. "Kenheim awaits."
"But what about the children?" Dior asked.
A whisper, cold as ice.
"What about them?"
"We're just supposed to leave them."
"We are." Selene took in the wreckage of Evelyn with a wave of her thin hand.
"This is only a taste, Dior. The entire world will look thus if we do not find Master Genoa. Every moment you tarry from your path, you waste time, you waste hope."
"You waste breath," I snapped, repeating what you've already said.
"We have no breath to waste, brother, thanks to you."
My heart sank at her jab, but I refused to bite back. Dior chewed her lip, watching me as I gazed about the sanctuary my brothers had built, listening to the lonely calls of twice-glutted crows among the ruins, the echoes of another dream destroyed. "Whatever we do," I finally sighed, "we can't stay here." We trudged back down the hill to the children below. They were 20 in number, boys and girls, most near Dior's age, but a handful far younger. They'd scavenged what food and clothing they could from the ruins, wearied and heart-sick from their ordeal. But a few of the older ones stood taller as they saw Dior, looking at her with numb gratitude and quiet awe. Phoebe had scrounged clothes in the burned houses, breeches, a stout jerkin, a winter cloak, all stained with soot. But a pair of boots had apparently eluded her. She gifted a warm smile to Dior, a cold glance to me. But Selene, she fairly glowered at. This was going to be trouble. Speaking of, I heard crunching footsteps behind, turning to find Lachlan stalking through the gates, shoulders kissed with new snow. Our eyes met, and I could see anger, distrust, barely held in check. He was disciplined enough not to voice the questions I could see roiling behind his fangs, but I knew a difficult conversation loomed on our horizon. "No sign of Kiara or her kinsmen," he reported. "But dark is deepening, and the dead run quick. We should off before they're up us. Where is the question?"
"We keep to the path," Selene said. "West to the Night Stones."
Phoebe waved to the frightened children.
"With them in tow? Fine plan, leech."
"No one asked your opinion, flesh witch."
"No one asked me to save your brother's hide, neither. And call me..."
"Enough," I snapped. "First things last, we need to get the hell away from here. If the untamed return, we're fucked harder than a bishop at a cardinal's convocation. We head back north, away from their tracks. All of us," I added, glowering at my sister. "Get some miles under our feet and sleep in our pockets." I clapped my hands. "Let's move, soldiers." At my barking, the young ones formed up,
making ready to leave the only home most had known. The air was heavy with sorrow and chill, and Dior gave my hand a squeeze, lips pressed thin. I squeezed back, throwing off the cloak of my own grief, turning thought to simple survival. And sighing, I looked to Phoebe, patting Bear's saddle. "Mesdames before Monsieur." The woman raised one eyebrow.
"Shove your chivalry up your arse, man."
"My chivalry fell on its own sword a long time ago. But if I've the right of it, you're stuck in that shape at least until dusk tomorrow. So, unless you've a burning desire to walk for the rest of the night through freezing snow in bare feet." Phoebe looked me up and down, hands on hips. I rolled my eyes. "Don't make me beg, mademoiselle."
"I like it when you can beg."
"My kind."
Tossing her hair, Phoebe turned and lifted a young girl onto Pony's saddle.
Hefting two older lads up behind the lass, she gave Dior's fingers a squeeze as she handed over the Susias's reins. The girl stiffened slightly at the dusk dancer's familiar touch, but Phoebe seemed unconcerned, taking up watch at Dior's shoulder like a guardian at the gates. I helped a gangly young lad into Bear's saddle instead, lifting another child behind him before stooping to pick up a third. She was the blonde lass Dior had carried from the river, I realized, maybe 6 or 7 years old. Her dress was grubby and spotted with blood, a hand-woven moppet doll clutched in one dirty hand. And about her neck, I saw a prize that had once adorned a wolf mother's throat. A golden file on a broken chain.
"What's your name, Cherie?"
I asked softly, crouching before her. She looked to her feet, frightened, replying with a tiny voice.
"Mila, monsieur."
"And where did you get that, Mademoiselle Mila?" I asked, pointing to the vial.
"Found it."
She risked a glance.
"After Kit Kat Lady bit you, and you said a bad word."
"I said a very bad word," I nodded, solemn. She risked a shy smile, clutching the moppet to her chest.
"You did."
"May I see it?" She looked up at me, blood-flecked skin and dirty blonde hair and big brown eyes that had already seen far too much of this world. And though she'd just lost everything, that little girl slipped the chain off her neck and placed it in my open hand.
"Keep it."
"Truly?" Mila nodded.
"You said a bad word, but you're a good man."
I slipped the vial into my bandolier and kissed her forehead, lifting her up behind the others. Looking about, I caught Dior smiling at me, waving her off with a scoff and a scowl. Lachlan raised a young boy onto his shoulders, another youngster riding him piggyback. And eyes narrowed against the bitter winds, collar dragged high and tricorn low, I led our little company out of Aveline's gates and into the frozen night beyond. The children walked mostly in silence, a few murmuring prayers, others sobbing softly. Lachlan was a point, casting wary glances to the trees about us, behind for the Divok who might be stalking us. Selene strode far out on our flank as always, stealing glances at Phoebe all the while. Monster though she was, my sister was clearly unsettled to have another monster riding with us, and, God's truth, I shared her concerns. The brethren of Saint Michon had raised me, and Lockie, on stories of dusk dancer savagery, taught us they were accursed by God and twisted by heretical magics. A foe to be both fought and feared. Phoebe walked beside Dior like a second shadow. Barefoot, she left no tracks in the snow and seemed completely unbothered by its chill. But strange as she was, her talons were draped around the girl's shoulder, protective. She'd helped us on our journey through Oswey, saved my arse out on that ice today. And she was no friend to the dead. Apart from the sharpness of her tongue, she didn't seem much a monster. After a few hours' ride upriver, Lachlan spied the ruins of a fisher hovel in a shallow dell, walls and roof crawling with shade spine and mould weave. Following a brief search, he emerged with a small nod, and I ushered our young charges inside. The little ones were exhausted, collapsing onto the hovel's floor. Most were settling into shock now, too numb for tears. My heart was bleeding for Aaron and Baptiste, but there was enough misery in this company already. And so, while Lachlan went out to keep watch, Selene to scout for the untamed, I set my boots by the fire and cooked a passable supper with stores I'd scrounged from a tavern in Avalyn. Fucking potatoes, sadly, but enough for all. I set the pot boiling, chopped the fare, pausing to take a hit of Sanctus from my pipe or a swig from a bottle I'd filched with the spuds. For all my troubles, the thirst shouldn't have been one of them. Not with all the liquor I had and the sacrament I was smoking. But still, I could smell it in that damned room, tasted at the back of my throat. Blood. Blood. Isla was slumped in a corner, twin beauty spots etched under haunted eyes. Dior sat near the hearth, Phoebe slinking down beside her, smooth and swift. Again the girl tensed as the dusk dancer laid a head on her shoulder, but Phoebe simply sighed in contentment, as certain of her welcome and as heedless of personal space as any feline I'd ever met. I was certain if Dior scratched her back, the woman would start purring. As I served supper, I asked about the attack, who saw what and when. "They came as smoke, Chevalier," one of the older boys assured me, stroking the fuzz on his chin, "creeping through the gates like mist." "Bollocks," another lad scoffed. "This is no time for your tall tales, Admiral Duran." "Shut up, Sergio, I've seen them. Smoke they was."
"I saw no smoke," a thin girl whispered, "but I saw the one who led them, a devil in black, soaked in red. God, when she looked at me."
Chinfuzz glanced behind him.
"Were these the same devils as took Dun Quinn, Isla?"
Isla glanced up from the flames, drawn and haggard.
"I don't know, Abril."
I looked at the girl anew, remembering those refugees Dior and I had met on the road months back.
"You were at the fall of Dun Quinn, Mademoiselle Isla."
The maid's face was pale as she nodded, murmuring in her Ossian brogue.
"Aye, 6 months gone now. They came in the night back then too. Thunder with nae clouds, boulders falling like rain."
She shook her head, making the sign of the wheel.
"You know, Captain Aaron used to tell us you only appreciate the sunshine after you felt the pouring rain. But sometimes it feels like it's been raining all my life."
The lass hid her face in her hands, fighting back tears. Trying to head off an unwanted flood, I filled a bowl from the cook pot and offered it to her.
"You should eat something, Mademoiselle Isla."
She glanced up, frail and trembling.
"What's the point?"
"Of potatoes?" I risked a smile. "I wondered the same, miss."
"Of eating,"
she snapped, slapping the bowl from my hand.
"It's all gone to hell. Can't you see that? You think some half-cooked slop will make any of this better?"
The older children around the room hung their heads. A few of the little ones began crying. But Dior looked up from oiling her dagger, pale blue eyes shining.
"You fight harder on a full stomach, Isla. Keep heart now."
Dior glanced about, her voice rising.
"Keep heart, all of you. I know the road looks dark ahead, but the..."
"Dark," Isla cried. "Dark isn't the half of it. I had someone who loved me. Even in all this, I found my ever after, and now..."
She glared at Dior, rising to her feet as her tears began falling.
"God, I wish you'd never unlocked that cage. Why couldn't you leave me be to..."
"Don't," I warned, temper flashing. "Feeling heartsick is one thing, mademoiselle,
but wishing yourself dead is insult to every man and woman who died defending that keep.
Hell with them,
she glared at me, pawing her cheeks.
Hell with all of you.
The lass stormed from the hovel, sad whispers and sobbing children in her wake. I stared at the fallen bowl, the meals spattered all over the floor. And I thought I hated potatoes.
Mother and maid, Dior scoffed,
shaking her head as she looked at me.
You are a heartless prick sometimes, Gabriel de Leon.
I've heart aplenty, more's the pity. I stooped to lift a crying child, grubby red hair and blood-stained dress. But woe is me, theatrics at a time like this helps no one, Dior. Dior slipped her dagger back into the sheath at her wrist, staring after Isla.
She's only a girl, Gabe.
There's nay only to it. Dior and I glanced toward Phoebe as she spoke. The dusk dancer was nursing little Mila in her arms, dirty face and tear-filled eyes.
Hate to admit it, but your silver saint's right, Flower.
Damn right I'm right, I muttered.
Don't let it go to your head, man. Every dog has his day.
Dogs eat cats, last time I checked, mademoiselle.
Mother moons, she scoffed. I wouldn't let you eat me if you paid me for it.
Fortunate, then, that I wasn't offering to. Phoebe shifted the little girl in her arms, fixing Dior with her emerald stare.
There's a time and place for tears, Flower, and there's a solace to be found in sadness. It's easier falling downhill than climbing up. It hurts to punch on with broken hands. But it's when darkness falls around us that we find the fire within. And I see it in ye, sure and true.
Phoebe searched Dior's eyes, speaking fierce.
You're the fire that will burn away this dark, Flower. And you're a girl, so stick that only shite where the sun don't shine.
I glanced upward. The sun doesn't shine anywhere anymore, Kit Kat.
Then stick it anywhere you like, smart arse.
Quiet as tombs out there, came a whisper, and Selene stepped through the door. The children immediately fell into frightened stillness as my sister brushed snow from her shoulders out of her midnight blue hair.
And just as dark.
No troubles, I asked softly. No pursuit.
Nothing moves save wind and snow, but we cannot linger here.
We need to rest, including you.
You know nothing of what we need, brother.
I know cold bloods need to sleep like the rest of us. Take an hour or two.
Selim blinked around the sea of frightened faces. In here?
Where else? I'll watch with Lachlan. I shrugged. Grateful for any excuse to escape that room. No way I can sleep with a fresh pipe in me anyway.
My sister gazed about the hovel, meeting those unsettled stares, her eyes finally returning to mine. Perhaps an hour, then?
I nodded, rocking the child in my arms.
Selene sank down in the corner, as far from the fireplace as could be. But still, those closest shuffled farther away.
Despite what I'd seen on the river that day, the memory of her fangs locked on Ricard's throat, the sight still struck a sad chord in me. Even here, in our refuge, my sister was forced to keep herself apart, and the air was thick with fear. Hers of the flames, the children of her.
Where will we go now?
Someone asked softly.
Beaufort, maybe. South. That's where they came from, Sammy.
I'll not go near the Forest of Sorrows, Chinfuzz vowed. Not for all the silver in Elidane.
The Fae Queen in Aerion has woken, she and her Flower Knights.
What about the others?
An older girl demanded, her voice trembling.
All the people they took, our friends, our famille.
Hush fell then, broken only by frightened sobbing.
We could take them to Red Watch.
Dior looked to me, hopeful.
That's not far.
After the shit you pulled there last time, I scoffed.
They'd hang us both.
God, you kill one Inquisitor and spend the rest of your life apologising for it.
I think there's a lesson in that for all of us.
We are not going to Red Watch, Selene hissed, interrupting our chuckles. We have no time for petty compassion, Dior. We must continue west. We must find Master Genoa.
You'd do well not to tell us what we must, leech,
Phoebe growled, nursing that little girl in her talons.
Last I looked, you were as far from our friend as a snake could slither.
You know nothing, my sister replied.
I know when we fought at St. Guillaume, you tried to kill me, and your brother.
Phoebe glanced at me, eyes flashing.
What I don't know is why he hasn't put you in your grave for it.
Because he is not a fool, flesh witch.
I like how you did that, implying I am, without actually having the courage to say it.
Selene stared bloody daggers at the dusk dancer's throat, and I interceded before trouble started.
Do you have another suggestion, Mademoiselle Phoebe, or are you just stirring shite for the sake of it? Where do you propose we go?
I give nay a single whisker of my sweet cunny where that goes.
Phoebe glared at Selene, then looked to Dior.
But we should head to the Highlands, flower.
Selene scoffed.
Madness.
Every leech we've met on this road has tried to end Dior. What's mad is following a leech's advice about which road to take now.
Phoebe glowered at me.
Last I heard, your kind hunted the dead, not clung to them like a babe to tit.
You don't know me, mademoiselle.
I know silver saints have hunted night things for generations. Our greatest queen perished at the hands of one of your kind. But now you're happy to follow a corpse about?
I've never hunted a dusk dancer in my life. Never even seen one till I met you. And the Ordo Argent aren't my kind.
I met the woman's stare.
You don't know me.
The pair of us glared at each other, neither blinking, neither flinching. Logs crackled in the fire, and Dior spoke into the uncomfortable silence.
What's in the Highlands?
Phoebe broke our staring contest, meeting the girl's eyes.
Sanctuary. As much as can be found in this time of blighted blood anyway. Your coming was augured among the all-mothers of my kin, and long have the folk of the moon's throne awaited your birth. You'll find sisterhood there, flower, sanctity, magics, old and true.
Dior.
The girl looked to my sister as she hissed.
Your truth lies with Genoa, Selene said. The fate of every soul under heaven depends upon you reaching the Night Stones.
Dior scruffed her fingers through her hair, glancing to the frightened faces around her.
What about the souls in this room?
Don't fret on it for now, I told her. There's no call to be made tonight that won't keep till the morrow. And you'll see clearer come morning light.
The little girl in my arms was calmed at last, and as I tucked her in on a blanket near the fire, I gazed about the common room.
The children were pale and frightened, bloodied and weeping and numb. I'd seen this story before. 100 towns, 1,000 lives, all destroyed by cold blood hungers. But it's just as I learned when I was a boy, vampire. When your whole world is going to hell, sometimes all you need is someone who sounds like he knows the way.
Sleep now, all of you,
I told them, hand at rest on my sword. No dead shall trouble your dreams. All songs cease, little ones. All cities fall. But so too must end darkness. And I will watch over all of you until the breaking of the dawn.
The children hushed.
The last of the sobbing ceased. And grabbing up my bottle, matching Dior's small smile with my own, I headed out to the cold night, alone.